Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're having a good day. It's God's Sabbath. It's a great day for us. It's a great day for us. Well, are you ready for more winter? It hasn't been a bad one. We've been pretty fortunate. It's good to see one of my old basketball players here with us today, Terry Neese. I used to coach him many, many years ago. When I was a lot younger, and he was younger too, because he's looking like a man now, an older man. It's good to see George back, and we hope everyone is able to make it back, you know. So we just hope that our family will get well and healthy, and that we would have those who aren't able to be with us someday soon. So last time I spoke to you, about the hero Joshua. And I'm going to start out with Joshua again today. But today it's going to be just a little bit different. I want to start out with the resume of Joshua. Joshua's a hero. So his resume looks something like this. Joshua is the son of Nun of the tribe of Ephraim. The meaning of his name is Yahweh saves. Or the Lord saves, or may the Lord save. He was at one time Moses' assistant. He was a military leader at Rephidim, personal aide of Moses at one point in Exodus 24:13. And one of the two spies that came back with a good report when they were sent out to spy on the other countries in the Promised Land. Only he and Caleb trusted God. Let's turn with me there to Numbers 14:6, if you would please. What was happening before verse 6 was that the people were complaining, they were scared, and they didn't want to go in their land because they heard how big the people were and everything else about them from the other 10 spies that went into the land. Only Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Now, this is for the whole congregation. Think about this. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Can we see why they are heroes to God? They totally trusted God. They had learned their lessons. They were in the 40 years. But this was Joshua's, I'll finish his resume. And he became the leader of Israel when he was 80 years old. Like Moses, initially needed encouragement to lead because it was quite an undertaking. You can imagine. He led Israel through the Jordan River, interceded for the Israelites before God in Joshua 7:6-9. I won't read that, but he went there interceding for the Israelites for the things they'd done wrong. Exhorted Israel to obey God's law in Joshua 23 as he's about ending his time. And he delivering a challenging farewell address in Joshua 23. He was called the servant of the Lord in Joshua 24:29. We will turn to that. Not much higher honor you can be than to be a servant of the Lord. And he held his faith and belief until his death, until his time to leave. Joshua 24:29. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. He was 110 years old when he died. So he served as the leader of the Israelites for 30 years after Moses. Quite a resume, wouldn't you say? Quite a resume. Very easy to see why he would be a hero to us, because he truly set the right example. Today I ask us, how are we doing? We're called to be heroes. Each and every one of us. And you say, me, a hero? Some people who may have known us in our past may say that too. Him, a hero, or she, a hero? But you know, as God says, he knows the heart. And he's called you and I to be heroes in the coming time. Because we have trials and stuff we have to go through. And as some of the heroes, the ways are easier. Because some are what? More obedient. And they walk. And they walk. In other words, they don't fall in sin like some of us do more so. Because anytime we make a mistake, when we sin, what do? It takes down our character. If we do not notice it immediately and repent. Being a hero is one who is always cognizant of what God wants and is walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And we as human beings, we have that little guy up there who, well, I shouldn't say little guy. He goes around as a roaring lion. And he looks every way he can to find a niche or a little crack in your armor or mine. And he doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. As you look around the world that we live in, he is winning in a lot of ways. We are a very small group. God doesn't need many. God needs those who love him. Just as the song we sang, I thought it was an excellent song we sang there, as the deer. God wants us to love him. God wants us to want to be with him, and God wants us to represent him and being obedient and loyal to him. God has called you and I to be in his kingdom and to be a light to the world, you and I. And that's the calling you and I have. And one thing we need to always remember is Satan wants to take that away. He wants you to fail. He wants me to fail. He doesn't care how it gets to us. As was mentioned in one of the sermonettes, we're only a few weeks away from Passover and Days Unleavened Bread. And I want to tell you, I know most of you who have ever been in church long, Satan will be coming at us with a vengeance, trying to get our thoughts, our ways, people talking to you, relatives talking to you, trying to get you to do things that we shouldn't do because Satan is pushing them and trying to find a button or a crack in our armor that we will say, yeah, I think I can do that. We forgot to say, as we saw in Joshua there, at the one time when Joshua first brought out the Israelites, they weren't supposed to take anything, and the one family did. And what happened to them in the next battle? They lost. And Joshua was very discouraged, if you remember. And then they come to find out who did it. Now, can you imagine us doing what Joshua did to that family? But do you see what they did to the whole nation? He killed them all. He killed them all. Because they had defied the living God. Because they were told by God not to take anything, to destroy everything there. You and I must watch that we do not start making excuses for what we are tempted to do sometimes. And we're all tempted. That's why we have Passover. We're all sinners. Our deal is to learn how to become better Christians, better servants of our living God, and how to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. God has blessed you and I so much to know these facts, this understanding. He's opened our minds. The rest of the world has no idea. They're going down jolly, jolly land. As long as everything's happy, I'm happy. Leave me alone. And when trials come upon them, they don't know how to handle it. If we have God's Spirit in us, it is amazing. If we use all of God's Spirit, the love, joy, the peace. Because we have love for God and we'll have peace. We'll be long-suffering with others. We'll be kind. We'll be gentle. We'll have all the fruits of God's Spirit in us. And the last one is that self-control. We definitely need to work on the self-control because that's where it all begins. Where we stop and think, well, yeah, I think I can do that. Or that's not too bad. But then it affects all the rest of the fruits of your spirit and mine. Only reason I can talk to you about this is because, hey, we're together. We've all sinned. But we've all been called by God. And he loves us and showed he loves us because that's why we're here. We are so blessed to know his truth and his way of life. We've been called to be royal priesthood. That's our calling. Each and every one of us has been called to be a part of God's family and be a part of the royal priesthood of the Almighty God. Not for 8 years or 30 years. We've been called to do that for eternity. Eternity. We had the opportunity of living in God's holy city, New Jerusalem. You know, in John 14, let's turn to John 14 there for a second. Christ said something that we need to always keep in mind. And it will help us to understand how much God loves us and how much Christ loved us. We know he gave his life that you and I could be what? In his kingdom for eternity. In John 14, here's what Christ said just before he leaves. He's telling the apostles, and he's telling us, because the word says for you and me, and all that is called. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me, also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's for all of us. We're all going to have mansions or a place in God's family. A nice place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'm going to come back. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Christ said, look, I died for you. I suffered pain for you. I didn't do anything wrong. And if I did that for you, I made your way so that you can walk the straight and narrow line and follow my example, and we can all be together, and I have a mansion for you, waiting for you. Finish the race. Be the hero. Be the light that God wants you and I to be before each other and before the world. We're not perfect. And I know we can all say amen to that one. But, you know, we do know that we always can be forgiven. It's in our attitude. And the more and quicker we see that we have fallen short, we can repent quicker. But every year, this time of year, we have Passover. Isn't it wonderful to have a God who loves you and me so much that He knows that we will sin, and yet He's going to ask again that you come before Him and ask Jesus Christ to be the sacrificial one for each and every one of us, that our sins can be completely removed. Christ is the only one that can do that for us. You can be as good as you want, and you're still going to sin. You know why? Because you live in a sinful world. It may only be one sin a year. I can't say that, but hopefully you can. Because if we could get it down to that, I'm sure God will be jumping up and down, Christ will be jumping up and down, and saying, look at my heroes, look what they're doing. You and I have been called to be in God's holy city, New Jerusalem. And if we're there, you know what we've done? We've chosen the right tree. Adam and Eve took the tree of good and evil. They had a chance to eat of the fruit? But they chose the wrong tree. You and I need to be living according to God's will so that we can eat from the right tree. Tree of life. Life eternal with the living God. We know that Christ had to die for you and me. And we know that He did it willingly because God asked Him to. For we know that each of us have sinned. And Romans 6:23, it's just turned there, tells us what happens when you sin. You know it by heart. Pages quit sticking together, I might be able to get to it. Let's go back to verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only because of His sacrifice. Only because of His love. The love of the living God and the love of Christ for God, are any of us going to be in God's kingdom? You and I can't make us righteous. We're righteous when we serve God and keep His commandments, which is His righteousness. As we brought out earlier, we're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. And we certainly want that. But certainly, again, we are human. And you got to realize we're fighting a spirit being, which is Satan the devil. And we got to stay close to God to have His Holy Spirit in you and I, that we can throw the darts away that Satan throws at us. Because Satan's continually trying to get to you and me. He wants to destroy your armor. He wants to destroy my armor. He wants to destroy anyone's armor who loves God. And he will not quit. If you look around the world, you can see why he doesn't quit. He's winning most of the people. They have no idea what's happening to them. But they go by feelings. And feelings sometimes get us in trouble. We heard about that in one of the sermonettes. We always have to have God's way and God's law before us. The Ten Commandments we're going through. Good timing. Good timing to have those Ron put for the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. Speaking of some of the heroes, look how many heroes there are in the Bible. But then look how many could have been heroes and failed. And we don't know what's going to happen to them. They have to change, that's for sure. But you and I have to build God's Spirit in us by being loyal and dedicated and staying close to Him. He has to be in our heart at all times. We have to devote time to Him. This world is so busy. So much going on. Used to be just TV when I was younger. Well, say in my young 20s. You know, and I remember Mr. Armstrong, Garner Ted, one time saying, the one-eyed monster. And back then, you could only get three stations. Maybe four. Now you can get hundreds of them. And you have cell phones, computers, and everything else taking our time. We need to make sure the first thing we do is have God first in our time. Because He will not accept second or third. And if we put Him second, third, or fourth, our time will be eaten up and there'll be 5 minutes for God and you'll be doing everything else. But, oh, I got to pray before I go to bed. Oh, okay, I got 5 minutes. I got to go. It happens. We want to make sure that we're studying and praying. Because it says study to show yourself approved. And that's how we prove to God that we love Him, as we put Him first. I remember when I came into church, you used to talk about praying half an hour to 45 minutes and studying at least half an hour to an hour a day. Do we still do that? Do we try to put that first in our life when we get up in the morning? I know, we all slip sometimes. I've slept over and had to get up and run to work, you know, and say, well, I'll pick it up tonight. Well, I may pick it up at night, but I may not do it as long. Because you know what? I've worked all day. I got a physical body. I'm tired. And, you know, it's just kind of relaxing just to relax instead of seeing the goal. The goal is to, what? Build ourselves in God's truth and way of life. Because that's the only thing that's going to last past the physical life that you and I have. If all we do is not serving God and not going into being the hero for God, we have 50 to 100 years maybe. It's physical life. But for each of us that He's called, if we finish the calling, if we finish the race, we go from this physical life to a spiritual life where there's no more pain, no more suffering. And this world and this society that we live in will no longer be. You don't have to lock doors. You don't have to worry about someone, you know, stealing or anything else. Because in God's kingdom, it's perfect, just as God the Father and Jesus Christ are. That's what we're working towards, being perfection like our God and Father. And He's taking us who are weak, who are physical, and giving us this opportunity. We are so few compared to the world, how many people there are. All the churches that we suppose we are part of, broke off from or something, do you think we hit 30,000 people in a world of how many million? Now, there's other churches, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about believers we do, keeping the Sabbath and all that. And you have churches that don't. They keep the Sabbath, but they don't do anything else. They don't keep God's laws. Now, I'm talking about what we consider and what I hope God considers the true churches of God. Because he's opened our hearts and minds to understand it. And as you know, when we first understood and God opened our minds, did anything else matter? And that's the older generation. The new generation has come up with it for years. They've lived it their lives. And they had to prove it in a different way. When I came in, it was like night and day. And you're going like, wow, man, this is great. Oh, and man, every week you just couldn't wait to get to church to talk to somebody, see what they had to say. I was reading in here, what does that mean? I don't quite understand. Or hey, can we get together and get out to dinner or something? I'd like to talk with you. The talk was about God's Word. We had regular conversation too, but it was talk about God's Word because we're all learning. And at that time, there were so many coming in at a time. But we're eager to know God's way of life. We're truly blessed, you and I. We need to count our blessings. On this holy Sabbath day, we're supposed to take extra time in prayer and study. And we should take extra time in meditating. Realize the blessings that our God has given you and me. We have brothers and sisters. We're here. And some of them are out there, and we wish you were with us. And hopefully you will be. And they want to be with us so bad. And we need to count our blessings and make sure we remember them. Because they need to know that we still care. And we do. A little letter, a little note, a little phone call means so much. Can we make enough time, each of us, think about this. Can we make 10 minutes every day to call one of our brethren who are sick and in need? Or take 10 minutes. 10 minutes is all I'm asking. To put forth a card if we can't call. It doesn't seem like much, does it? But you know what? I don't do it all the time. I hope you do. Susan Lockwood used to be one of the best I ever knew as far as sending out letters and everything. You know? She was, every time I go somewhere, somebody had a letter from Susan Lockwood or something. There she is, even now. She still does this. You see, even her condition, and many others do too. But are we too busy? I know I'm ashamed when I think about myself. You get on a good streak, and then all of a sudden, guess what? Satan, something's coming, murders in your own family, and you get out of the habit. It's a good habit. We're coming up on Passover. We need to look at ourselves. How are we doing? How are we doing? In Matthew 7:1, if you turn there, you know this. It's in Christ's first sermons. Talks about taking the, what, speck out of somebody else's eye. Because you love to look at somebody else's eye. Oh, it's easier to look at somebody else's eye. Oh, man, they need to do this. Oh, boy, I'd never do that. I'll never say that either, because any time I've ever said I'll never do, most of the time I've done it, so I try to say I hope I'll never do anymore for many years now. Verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? That's very simple. It's easier. Who wants to tell me I'm bad? I don't like to tell myself I'm bad. I don't like somebody else telling me I'm bad either, but they're telling me because they love me and it's probably right. But I may argue with you or not agree with you because I don't want to agree with you because I have vanity and vainness and all the other things that go with it. But if you're my brother or sister and you have that love to be able to tell me that, willing to tell me that, I will think about it. And later I'll come and thank you probably. Because you see, out of your love, you didn't do it because you was trying to be mean to me. You were doing it because you love me and don't want me to go down the wrong road. You want us to stay a family. You want us to stay on the right track and help each other as we're supposed to do, to be on the right track and following Jesus Christ and God the Father. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn and tear you in pieces. You and I need to make sure that we put forth a good resume before our God through changing and growing. And we have to do it daily. We have to build the good habits. We have to stop and do as mentioned in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness is His laws that keep us in line. Tell us what's good and bad. And God is the God of love, remember. He loved you, and loved me. That He called us out of this world so that you and I can become kings and priests in His divine kingdom. And it's certainly not because we're worthy. It's because of Him changing us, allowing us to understand and see and grow in His grace and knowledge. And we're to continue doing that daily. So let's turn with me to Ephesians 6:11. Let's talk about the armor that we have. You know this, you've read it many times. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In my Bible it says schemings of the devil. The schemings he tries to do to get you and I to fail, to sin. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're fighting Satan, the devil, his demons. We are at battle every day. Every day. And we better have our armor on. We better have our weapons ready. The greatest weapon you and I have is God the Father and Jesus Christ, because they love us. And they've given us opportunity to be in the kingdom, and they've given us a way to get out of sinning when we repent. We fix the armor and we go on. But don't get cocky. Don't get comfortable, because he and them are out there to try and find another spot where they can make you fail. In verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, God's truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, covering our heart, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. That's you and I. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And if we have it in our hearts and mind or doing it, we can speak boldly. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You and I represent God the Father. And Jesus Christ has given us the opportunity and shows us the way how we become a part of Him and God the Father. It's our choice. Let's not let the armor be taken away from us. Let's remember who we're fighting. It's not a physical person. It's a spiritual demon. And then Satan the devil. He uses physical people. But it is not the physical person by themselves. They're being influenced. For Satan wants you and I to fail. He doesn't want you and I to keep Passover in 2020. He doesn't want you keeping the Sabbath in 2020. He doesn't want you and I to love each other and care for each other and bond together as a family in 2020. He wants to break that up. He wants you and I to judge each other instead of loving and helping each other. Giving and caring. Remember who we're fighting. Remember who the enemy is. Because that way we will make time to study, pray, keep in contact with those who are not able to be with us. Find out what we can do to help anybody. Giving 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day for one phone call. Just one phone call every day. That means you call 7 people in a week. 7 people. Or send 7 cards. I'm talking to myself on this, folks. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me because I don't do it. I'm sorry. I get it, like I said, I get in a random somewhere. I do it pretty much in a room, but then I let off. I can't let off, and neither can you. Because when we let off, Satan's winning. It's another thing in our armor. He's got a little bit of a hole in there. Let's turn with me to 1 Peter 5:14. I need to get a new Bible. My pages fell out. That poor little thing. Can I get a raise and pay, Ron, so I can buy a Bible? Just teasing. Am I supposed to be in 2 Peter 5:14? I am it. Hold on, folks. I'll get there. This is embarrassing, but I know I've been needing to get into the Bible for a while. 1 Peter 5:14. No, I'm sorry. I wanted 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You and I have been called, and I hope that our resume improves every day, every year, that we can fulfill the calling that God the Father through Jesus Christ has given you and me. For we have really been blessed. That on our resume, it may say, he or she did da 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 da, and has earned the right, because of their love and obedience to God, to be in the royal priesthood of the Almighty Creator. Priesthood of the living, eternal God for eternity. To reside in the holy city of New Jerusalem, in a mansion that's been prepared for him by Jesus Christ. And they have done the work. They have taken the trials. They have grown as God wants each and every one of us to. And they all have chose the tree of life with God forever.